All right. So, guys, today we're going to talk about why I want to be in debt, because it's not a joke. Well, it is a joke, but there's anytime I'm making jokes, there's a reason behind the joke. And this joke is like a massive breakthrough that I've had recently. And I'm really excited to share it with you guys. Really anybody yet. So, yeah, it should be good. And you guys will kind of get the inside joke behind the posts and such. And I might release like 10 or 20 minutes of this call. And then you guys can ask more questions and everything. And then later on in the call, we're going to talk about character building and AI and how I kind of look at that. And we're going to build an AI model up for like character building, essentially, and like training it on branding and stuff. So without further ado, let's dive into it. So this is why I want to be in massive debt and why you should too, featuring Cameron Dallas. Okay, so guys, 2019, I hit what I would call, what many would probably call, a rock bottom moment for me, which resulted in I was dating this girl and it was a really bad relationship overall, but she ended up going to Coachella and met this old Vine celebrity. You guys might not even know who it is, but it's this guy, Cameron Dallas. This guy, he was a Viner. She met this guy and she cheated on me with him. And then the next day that she met the guy that she cheated, she archived or deleted all of our posts because we were like a public, you know, social media. We were a public. Is that good, guys, in the chat? So, yeah, she posted. Some of you guys know this story, but she deleted all our photos that we'd taken because we were public, like social media couple. And she posted this photo. Obviously, I blurred her face out. She posted this photo with this dude. This is a Getty Images paparazzi photo. And I was so down bad from this that I was just like so embarrassed and apathetic. After she was cheating on me for like a week, I got back with her, which was just like the most embarrassing thing you could possibly do. And so then I stopped posting on YouTube because I had so much like shame, basically. And it was so bad. Like I was just like, my friends were like, dude, what are you doing? I didn't listen to them. I didn't even listen. My parents were like losing respect for me. I didn't post on YouTube. I wasn't making any money. I was just being a loser. And this is from July 4th, 2019. And I mean, I don't know. I just think this is funny. Look at me. DM me. Let's catch up. Like, just like you can see just like the hurt on my face. Like, I just look awful. And at this time, I finally broke up with the girl. Like, it took a while, but I finally did. And at that point, I had about 10 grand in the bank left, and I hadn't made money in like 8 months. And I had a credit card with $5,700, so I at least had that as a resource. But I had a really bad credit score, so I couldn't like get more credit or anything like that, even though I kind of believed in myself. But this was what I had. You know, I had this, and I had a following that thought I was a loser, and I had like a few friends. I had a few friends in Boston. You guys might know like Maggie and Emma McDonald. They were living in this building, this like luxury apartment building that, you know, I was used to paying like $900 a month to live in a frat house, basically. But they were living in this building. They were paying like $6,000-$7,000 a month for rent. And I was like, that's crazy. But they had these studio apartments there that you could rent for like $4,000 a month. And I don't even know how I got approved for the apartment because I only had like $10,000, but I got approved and I got in the studio and I started making videos again and I started producing content because I fucking had to. Because if I didn't start trying to make money again, I wouldn't have been able to pay rent and I would have gotten evicted. So I had to figure out how I was going to make, you know, $4,000 a month plus, you know, food and going out and doing things and trying not to be like broke in front of people, basically, right? Like this, the social pressure of having, you know, 10 grand a month in expenses when I only had 10 grand was a lot, right? It was enough to like ignite me. And then I bought Brody Kern's Wake Up Wealthy course, and that was like $5,000. And I was really trying to get out of a dark place. You know, I was like, no respect for my followers, no respect for my family, no respect from the friends that I had made, and like very little money. And ultimately it worked out. Like I was so motivated because I had to be that I got this like dope little, this is my dope little studio. Some of you guys who have been around for a while might remember this, but I started making videos. I started hanging out with, you know, some of my friends from college and like kind of getting back into it. And like, I didn't even have a bed frame. I just had my bed on the floor. I had like a beer pong table and some like lights for videos. And eventually I got some furniture when I could fucking afford it, but I couldn't at this time. Like I didn't have much, you know, I spent it all. So I had to level up, and I did. And this was like, this eventually led to Black Friday of 2019, where I think I ended up making like, I don't know, $60,000, or roughly like $30,000 in profit from $30,000 or $40,000 in profit from a merch drop for the clothing brand I was doing at the time. It was that one. That was the first one. It was the Black Friday drop. I made like $30,000 or $40,000 in profit. And then I had like kind of successfully brought myself back and resurrected my brand, and I did it because I had to, right? And and I think, you know, the pain of like going through a dark breakup was also very motivating too. And then I ended up inventing Maxi, which happened in February. And then I ended up launching my coaching business. And then I did something else. And about a year and a half later, I got a Sprinter van and a mansion in the Hollywood Hills. It was $15,000 a month for rent. I was then paying one-on-one for a business coach $15,000 a month, and my lifestyle was costing about $15,000 to $30,000 a month. So now my monthly overhead about $40,000 to $50,000 like every month, no matter what. And that put even more pressure on me, right? Before, my overhead was like $8,000 a month, but then my overhead was like $60,000 a month. So I had to make at least $60,000 a month. I had to. If I didn't make $60,000 a month, I would have been evicted. I would have been socially embarrassed. I was pushed to do that because I fucking had to. So the realization I had, guys, is, you know, the most I've really spent in a month is probably about $120,000. And I want you guys to really think about this too and type in the chat, like, how much money, what's the most money you guys have spent in a month? Arden said 20K. What did you buy, Arden? You could just unmute yourself.
I bought a camera. I bought a mentorship. I went to Vegas. I went to a conference, a lot of stuff.
Okay. Guys, what else? What's the most you guys have spent? Even if it's 5,000 or 2,000 or, you know, Mason said 8 to 10. Now, right. So Arden, unmute yourself again. What's the most money you've made in a month?
The most money I've made in a month was probably 8K.
Okay. So when you spent 20 though, how much more motivated were you to make money?
Significantly.
Yeah. And you felt driven to figure it out, like more than usual, right?
100%.
Yeah. Okay. So now, yeah, everyone else just type like, just do it in one message. So what's, so say like in the message, say most I've spent versus most I've made. The most he spent a month is about $8,000 and the most he's made is about $12,000. Brennan said most I've spent is $45,000. Most I've made is $110,000. You guys notice something? Is there not a pretty interesting correlation between the amount of money, the amount of debt you've been in, and the amount of money you've been able to make? it's kind of interesting, right? So I realized that the most money I'd really spent in a month was about $120,000. And the most profit that I've made in a month is about $150,000. And I was like, you know, if I had a loved one that I knew was going to die in 2 weeks, right? And I, unless I made $500,000, do you think I'd be able to figure out how to make $500,000? Do you guys think you'd be like, if you had, you know, the gun to your head and your, you know, your, whatever, your brother, your mom, your dad, whatever, is going to die in 2 weeks, unless you found $500,000, made $500,000 to pay for the surgery, would you be able to do that? Probably. You'd probably figure it out, right? Or you'd at least make significantly more money than you do right now, right? Now, the problem is that that's just not a reality for most people, you know? Like, or here's another one. Like, let's say for me, I got like pretty down bad at that rock bottom moment, 2019, you know, I was like cheated on and embarrassed. And that was debt. That was emotional debt that I was given. Right. And there's a saying, you know, the harder you throw a basketball or a ball against the ground, the higher it's going to bounce back up. You can't really, I mean, I made a tweet that went pretty viral and it was like, the secret to life is getting your heart broken, but you can't like engineer really a heartbreak, you know, you can't just like be like, oh, you know what? I need to like let the heartbreak glow up under my butt and just like go get heartbroken. Like, you can't just go to the store and buy that. But you can do it with debt, right? There is literally a way to put pressure on yourself by putting more financial burden on yourself. Okay. And so I never really understood this, to be completely honest, because I was like, well, you know, I didn't really notice the pattern that I just pointed out for you guys. Like, if you really think about it, the most money you've spent is pretty close to the most money you've made. And the reason is because we aren't really motivated by our goals. We are afraid of embarrassing ourselves. That's what moves us to action, being afraid of embarrassing ourselves. So that's really what pushes you. And a way you can do that is through debt. So how do you get into debt? Well, you can apply for credit cards. You can apply for 0% interest credit cards. And this is my friend Gavin. He's actually my former COO. He literally is like he used to be in the military for years, and he's like a bit obvious. He's wearing the Jocko t-shirt. The dude like doesn't travel. He lives in, I think he lives in Indiana. He just fucking chills. And he gets his shit done with work. And now his main focus is, I mean, he has like many different investments in his, investment portfolio. He's worked with Bradley. He's worked with Colin Jurgensen. He was my COO for a while. But now he's like full-time on this business called Funding Secrets, where basically he's helping people get into debt. And I messaged him and I was like, yo, I need to get some business credit because my credit score sucks. Like, when I was 18, I didn't know how credit cards worked and I had late payments. So my score is like, my credit score is like 640 or something like that. It's really bad. And so the only reason I have an Amex is because Chloe, my girlfriend, has a good credit score and I'm an authorized user on Chloe's Amex. It's like so embarrassing, right? But Gavin, no matter whether you have a good or bad credit score, has a whole process about how to do that. And so you guys are, I'm just going to break down what his offer is. Basically, this is what I'm doing with him. It's a custom personalized funding blueprint to obtain up to $500,000 at 0% interest. If you guys don't know what this means, let me know. In the blueprint, you receive how to properly set up an LLC for funding, custom bank sequence, all the banks you need. You know, he walks you through this. Like, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to even fucking read this. I'm just like, yo, like, get me the business credit card. Like, get me 100K extra money and I'll spend that shit on education or assets, right? So the next part of his offer, after he gets you the credit and how to optimize the credit so you have like an A+ rating to get maximum funding, is he helps you figure out what to invest in, right? And he shows what he invests in. So you can, you know, let's say he gets you $250,000 in 0% interest credit. You could literally buy a house and turn it into an Airbnb and make passive income like that. Like literally just because you have the credit card. That's it. Like you don't have to work. You just apply, you get it. And yeah. So, he could, you know, advise you on that. He also owns Shopify stores. Like, I don't know if you guys know you can do this, but let's say you have, you know, you get $150,000 in business credit and you purchase an aged Shopify store. So you guys see like people are, you know, learning. I'm sure even people here have like tried to do Shopify, right? I tried to do Shopify, like start an e-com store. You can buy somebody else's store straight up. Like someone that spent like 2-3 years making a store that's making 10 grand a month, you can buy that shit. You know, like if you find someone and you can go to marketplaces to buy this, if you have the business credit, you can just literally, instead of doing the work, you just get a credit card and you just own the asset. And this, I mean, I knew this for a while, but the reason it clicked for me now is because I realized that the more debt you have, the more likely you are to figure out how to make it. And in some cases, it could be as simple as just buying a fucking asset. Like just buy an Airbnb or just buy a Shopify store, something that makes it back. Or it could be buy high level education. You know, you can spend 50, like you get 100K credit. You could pay a really high level business coach like $50,000 for a year of one-on-one coaching, you know? So, and they'll show you the information that you need, etc. So all I'm going to do right now, guys, is post the link and the way it works, like what it costs if you want Gavin's program. And he's actually going to hop on here soon and answer any questions you guys have. Is it's $1,000 to get it. So I just posted it. It's $1,000 and then it's 10% of whatever you get in funding. So let's say, and I think it's 10 grand max. So let's say he gets you $100,000 in business credit, you pay an additional $9,000. I'm genuinely doing this myself. Like I'm looking to get like $500,000 in business credit and, just use it. So I gave a bit of a background on you, Gavin, but I just wanted to bring you on here to answer any questions the guys had. Could you just give the guys a little bit more? I already explained that, you know, you were in the military, that you've worked with Bradley, you know, Colin, myself, and now your main focus is funding secrets and you can get people anywhere from 100 to 500K, but you know, any other background story, how you got into this would be appreciated.
Yeah, I just wanted to grow the business, you know. First client was Grant Cardone. And so he kind of opened my eyes to just leverage, right? So like, how do people scale faster? Well, you scale faster, you make more money by leveraging money from the bank, OPM, right? So free capital, 0% interest capital. So right now, interest rates are the highest we've seen since 2018. So, or sorry, 2008. So, it's cheap capital, right? 0% is capital. So background, I mean, you kind of went over everything. We have right now, as of today, let me look. We just added some more clients to the roster today. We've got 318 active clients that I'm getting funding for as of this very moment. So we've helped shit at this point thousands of people, but once I get you the funding, you're done, right? So active right now helping 300 and whatever I just said, 318. So yeah, you can get 100k, 500k, all at 0% interest. It's business credit, it's not personal credit. I don't know, do you go into that, like all the benefits of business
credit? Really, I didn't explain a lot of the details. I was just like, cool. Yo, if you guys want to have the, and I want you to explain that part. And then also some of the guys were like, I wouldn't even know what to do with $100,000.
Yeah.
Right. Can you just explain how it all works?
Yeah. You can go buy a gun. You can go buy whatever the fuck you want with it. I mean, literally, you can buy whatever you want. Like, the money's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. Of course, you want to make some money with it. The best thing you can invest it into is yourself, right? Those skills nobody can take from you. So whatever skill it is that you're trying to learn, invest into yourself or invest into an asset that's going to produce passive income. I know right now that's like a buzzword. It, like, most things that people put their money into in the last like 2 years is like complete shit. So you want to know how to due diligence, right? Like, learn how to do the research on what to put your money into. That's probably the most important thing that I show people, like how to come up with your investment thesis, their criteria that must be met in order to make an investment, whether that be in real estate, whether that be an e-commerce store, making sure it's a right e-commerce store, not some fly-by-night company who's going to just steal your money and leave, trading bots, lending your money back out. That's something that I do. I'm a private money lender to wholesalers. So if you have a deal that where you're going to flip that deal in like, you know, 2-3 months, I'll give you the 90K, 120K that you need. And then they'll flip the deal and then I'll get a little percentage on that. So you can do a lot of different things with this cash, whether that be passive or semi-passive. And then it's all business funding. So right now, if you pulled my credit, you would have no idea how much real estate I own. You'd have no idea the vehicles that I own. You'd have no clue how much debt I have because it's all in the business. So the personal and the business are completely separate. Business credit is 0 to 100, where personal is obviously 300 to 850. So if you apply for debt, 0% credit cards underneath your business, you're keeping your credit clean and you can get way more money. So let's say Arlen gets $500,000 at 0%. He pull his credit. Nobody knows that. Nobody has a clue. Nobody knows that Arlen's in debt. It's incredible. Not any other bank would know that. So if you go to Chase and you get 100K from Chase, all other banks don't know that he just got that capital. His business has it. He doesn't, but he controls his business, right? Because it's not on his credit file. So super important to do.
Talk about, like, for the beginner, like, or really, I mean, we have a variety. And by the way, this is like guys from Arlen's group already in here. So like, just talk about like, you know, let's say someone is like, all right, well, it sounds interesting. Fuck, what do I have to lose? You know, like, and the, you know, like what would you tell the beginner? And then we'll do a scenario like the intermediate and then a scenario for like the more advanced person that you have you work with like one-on-one. Also, real quick, does this work in England and Canada or only US?
It does. So right now I'm working with about half, like maybe 6 or 7 international clients. It takes a lot longer. You have to build up, you have to get an ITIN, which is like your individual tax identification number. So you have to get that. It's essentially like your social security number for a foreigner. That typically takes some time, but I do have like a resource where you can get that in maybe 60 days, give or take. And then you have to build your file like it's a brand new, like you're somebody who's like 18 and just starting fresh, right? You have to build your credit file, get good credit mix. You have to start opening up personal credit cards before you go to business, right? So take some time, takes an additional like 9 months to do that. But yeah, it is possible to do. And you can get just as much money as anyone else. And so no matter where you live, doesn't matter. You can get an I-10 anywhere. And you can get a US-based LLC, and you can do it in a way where you're not double taxed either. A lot of my Canadian clients will ask me, like, am I going to be double taxed? No, you're not. There's a specific way to set your LLCs up so that way you're only taxed in America and you're not taxed when the cash hits Canadian bank accounts. But in terms of beginner, do you mean like someone fresh, like 18, like no credit? Like, is that what you mean by beginner, or somebody who doesn't know where they're investing it?
I think most people here have a credit card. But yeah, like, yeah, just like new to online business, like just not sure what they would really even do with $100,000 in credit.
Yeah. I think I get this question the most, and look, I'm not an investment advisor. Like, I can't tell you where to put your cash. You know, I don't have a license for that, but I can tell you, you know, people fuck off with their money pretty quick. Right. So you need to do the research and the due diligence of where you put your money. Right. And so what I mean by that is just come up with your investment thesis. Like in Funding Secrets, I go over Ray Dalio's his investment thesis. I go over Warren Buffett's investment thesis. And so it's just their idea of where they put their capital. Right. So you got to come up with your own criteria. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. Like what criteria must be met? Does it have to be a physical location? How much risk are you willing to take? You know, does it have to be ran by you? Can you have a team run it? How much capital is going to be invested? What's the turnaround time on that capital? How long is that money going to be locked up? All those things need to be sorted out first before you ever put your money in anything. And that's the first thing I show people is come up with your own investment thesis. Come up with essentially what criteria must be met. So whenever you have a list, because I show people a list of like 50 different investments, when you see that list, it's not like, holy shit, paralysis by analysis, right? Like, I don't know what to invest in, so I'm not going to invest at all. It's okay, like that thing right there, number 10, that's the one I'm going to invest in because that obviously meets my requirements. Now I'm going to go do the due diligence on that thing to make sure it really does meet my requirements. You know, for example, if it's an e-commerce store, I have seven e-commerce stores. And so I just opened up 3 TikTok shops like 2 weeks ago. So why did I do that? Well, the company I opened them with, they've been running my stores now for 3.5 years. They generate hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue every single year on all my stores. Really good team. I know the owner of that company. They don't market themselves. I know their clients. Funny enough, they wanted to know how I was able to scale my store so fast. So I fund all their deals now. So anybody who has an e-commerce store with that company, I fund them. So I now have like a back end and I can see everybody's stores. So I really trust it, right? So what criteria must be met, right? For me, that's my 7th e-commerce company. I got burned by 6 other companies before I found them. So it's like trial and error, but I wouldn't, you know, trial by fire isn't the best way to do it, right? You want to come up with your investment thesis, which again, I show people how to do. What questions do you need to ask? Do you need to talk to current clients? You know, and obviously what is your risk tolerance? If it's 100K where it needs to be paid back within 12 months, it's a 0% interest. Now, again, you can roll that debt after 12 months. So essentially you can have 0% for a lifetime, but let's just say you need to pay it back within 12 months. Can that money be, if it's a $40,000 e-commerce store, can it be paid back within 12 months or not? You know, you gotta figure that out.
You would help them like do the math of that.
Exactly. It's simple.
So hypothetically someone gets the 1K, they pay the 1K deposit. You get them 100K in funding. They pay you back 9 because it's 10%. Mm-hmm. And then 10% of 100,000. And then you say, hey, you know, I would recommend that you check out this e-commerce store. It's $40,000.
Yep.
And you would say, okay, so if it's already making this much in profit a month, here's the projected growth rate. You're very likely to just with this investment, make back the 40K and more or whatever.
Exactly. But let's just say you're like, you know what? It's just 40K is too much for my first investment. I can't discern whether or not it's a good investment or not. Okay, well, then you have a lower risk tolerance. So it's a scale of risk tolerance based on what you want to put your money into. So for example, on the low end of that scale is less passive, more active. You handle all of it, but you just lend your money back out to individuals, right? So all you do is, and I provide contracts for this. I had my attorney draft up contracts for myself. You lend your money back out. Let's say you get 100 grand. You're just telling your network, hey, I have 100 grand to lend to you. You are now a lender. So you would say on that money, I want, you know, if you're a wholesaler and you need 25,000 for the down payment so you can flip that house within 30 to 90 days, well, then I want 50% return on that because typically wholesalers get it for a great price and they're double tripling their money on a wholesale transaction. So I want my 25,000 back plus an additional 13.5 or 12.5, right?
And this is all something that you would help people through who are like kind of beginners at this?
Exactly. Yeah. Because there's I have clients that
somewhat of a medium to high level, what you just said. Explain that to someone who's like more newer to this, like, hey, you know, you invest in this property. Go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of how I lend or real estate. What was
just that real estate deal that you just mentioned.
Yeah. So I've got clients that are in their 70s, right? And they're like, look, I'm not investing in e-commerce. Like you say Amazon store, they think they're buying Amazon stock, right? So I tell them their best opportunity would be to take the 100K they got or more, and they would get the contracts that I provide them and they would lend that money back out. So they have 100K. So these are all my active credit cards right now. I got a whole stack of them. I got like 27 here. And on these cards, there's probably 700,000, 700, 800 grand, something like that. So I would take a portion of that and I would give it to a wholesaler, whoever it might be. Are we all familiar with wholesale? So you buy low on a foreclosed home. The bank's going to be foreclosing on that property. They come in at a wholesale price and they buy it from the seller before the bank forecloses on it. So the house is valued and it's appraised at maybe 100K and they're getting it for 50 or less. Maybe let's just call it 50 to make it simple math, right? So they're buying the property for 50, but they're a brokey. They don't have the down payment to give to, or the 50K to give to the seller. So they only have 20 grand. Well, then I would come in and say, well, here's the additional 30 you need for the property. But whenever you flip it, because wholesalers, they don't hold homes. Typically they don't. They'll take it and they'll sell that contract to somebody who's going to fix and flip it, or an investor who's going to buy and hold that property, and they'll flip it for the actual appraised value, the 100K. So they'll make 50K on that transaction. So what I'll do is I'll say, I'm going to give you 30, but I want 50% return on that. So I'm going to give you 30. You got to give me back 15 plus my principal plus my 30. So I just made 15 grand by just giving somebody $30,000 for 30 to 90 days. That's typically how long the transactions take. Just depends on the closing times and, you know, did somebody die in the home? Doesn't need clean? You know, there's different things, right? So, but that's a very low risk way to use your capital, because you're not giving it to an e-commerce team to run your store. You're not giving to somebody else to manage. You're managing that whole process, right? The next tier up would be you buy property, right? Like, duh, like buy fucking real estate. It's equity. It's like the old heads Bitcoin, right? Like it's the boomers Bitcoin. So buy real estate, hold equity, buy long-term. It's the 5 to 7 year play, right? 5 to 7 years from now, if you leverage, so it's a pretty, this is going to be kind of like a high level. Let me dumb this down, but this is a high level concept. You're going to use nothing but leverage to grow a real estate portfolio. This is what I do. So I take my cards and I pull cash off of them. Okay. So you do that simply by just processing your own payments. You all have businesses, I assume, in some form or fashion, right? So you would just process your own payments, right? You would charge yourself. You'd open up a new processor. You charge yourself. You pull the cash off. You pay the 2.9%, which is a tax deductible. You'd get your, let's just call it, you're going to buy a $50,000 home in Ohio. They're super cheap over there. And then you got to put your earnest money deposits down. You got to have closing costs, inspection costs, down payments, etc. All in, you're looking at maybe 15 grand down after all that. Well, where's that 15 grand going to come from? It's going to come from the credit card. Where's the additional money going to come from the mortgage, from the bank? It's leverage. So you're buying a whole property with nothing but debt. You're not using any of your own money. Even cooler part is that mortgage is going underneath your business, not your personal. So you're only capped at 10 mortgages on your personal credit, but on the business side, they have a DSCR loan. It's a debt service coverage ratio loan. What that means is they're going to put the mortgage underneath your business. You have to show no income, period. You could be fucking homeless. Doesn't matter. They know they need no income in verification, period. All they care about is the value of the home. So the value of the home needs to be about 75K or more, and their fair market rent. So what you're going to rent it out to has to cover the mortgage 2 times. So essentially, you're taking credit cards, down payments, mortgage under the business credit cards, business mortgage. You buy a home, you're making maybe $1,000, $800 to $1,000 like per month after everything on the property. And you just keep rinsing and repeating that. 5 to 7 years from now, you refinance out, you pull all the cash, debt like tax free, you live off that cash, and you just keep collecting rents. Right. So that's another very low risk play. But of course, there's more work involved. It's finding the properties, doing the due diligence on the properties, finding a good real estate broker, finding someone who's going to give you a house at 50K and negotiate with you. There's a lot of stuff involved, right? Buy an e-commerce store, give them the credit cards, they start doing everything for you, completely passive. And I don't even touch my e-commerce stores. So depends on your risk assessment, how much time you have to put your money behind anything. If you all have businesses, use your capital to grow your businesses. Content. A lot of my clients that are in like the personal branding space.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Content teams, whatever they need to grow the business, right? Business trips. I mean, shit, just on this card alone, this Chase Inc. Unlimited, I've got like 1.2 million points. I could fucking fly to Europe and back, or Dubai and back, like 4 times with that for free. Right. So it's like, but again, that's clout. Right. First class fucking taking a shower on United Arab Emirates balling out on an $18,000 flight, but nobody knows I just paid with points, right? So there's just so many different ways you can use it. I went to Cabo for 2 weeks. I got a yacht. I got this massive Airbnb. All of it was paid for on a business credit card because I filmed content. It was a write-off, but I used a business credit card at 0%. So I'm holding that on a credit card, right? So there's just so many different ways that you can use it. And that money came back to me 10 times over now. Like whenever you travel, like good Lord, people just fucking hit you up like crazy. That content is just like a fucking magnet for people to figure out what the fuck you're doing, you know? So
Omar said he's not at this level yet. Can you, like, what is the bare minimum someone needs to be at in order to do this?
Like define not at this level yet. Like where is Omar?
Like let's just say 18 years old, you know, appointment setter, making $1,000 a month, you know, maybe in school, doesn't really know what you're talking about.
Well, my question would be, you know, if you're 18 years old, do you have a credit card? Like, where's Omar? Like, unmute yourself. Let me talk to you, Omar. All right. Tell me a little bit about your credit. Do you have a personal credit score or credit card?
I do not at the moment.
Okay. Are you in the U.S.? Okay. Are you in the U.S.?
UK based.
Okay. So if you're in the UK, like this is so for any of the other foreigners in here, how many do you have? How many foreigners do you have in here?
There's actually a good amount on this call. There's a good amount in the group overall.
Nice. So this is going to be very valuable. French, right on. Okay. Is that what that, that rich guy you're just watching on Instagram, is he Italian or French?
I think he's French.
I think he's French. Yeah, the accent is French.
Yeah, he sounded French. Yeah. But okay, so this is what you would do, Omar. Like, I'll just give you the breakdown. You would get an I-10 if you don't have one already. Okay. So it's an easy thing to get. If you work with me, I'll show you exactly how to get it really quickly. If you don't, you're waiting about a year and a half. So it takes about a year and a half, but I have a connection that I can give you that can literally cut it down to like 60 days, pretty fucking fast. Then once you have your I-10, you now have an established, essentially, social security number as a foreigner. You can now start applying for credit. You can now get a Discover card, Capital One card. These are cards that are going to report to all three bureaus. If you apply for a Chase card, they're only going to report to Experian. So essentially, you would start applying for credit cards to build your personal file, which I show people how to do. That's the first whole portion of Funding Secrets, is you have to have an A+ rating before you go into the bank. If you go into the bank with shit credit, not enough credit mix, if you don't meet the requirements, you're either going to get denied. They're going to give you like $5,000. What the fuck are you going to do with $5,000? Right. So you have to meet these requirements first. They call it the A+ rating. Right. So I show you how to underwrite your file like a banker would. Like, what does the bank look at when they look at your credit report? I show you to do that. And then you would start stacking your credit. For you, it'd take roughly 9 months. So you're looking at 2 months for the I-10, 9 months to build, looking at roughly about a year to build your personal file. Then that second year, you would do nothing but business funding, get all your business cards up to $500,000, right? Like, I charge up to $100,000 and that's it. Like, so anything over $100,000, it's free. You can do whatever you want. And this is a rinse and repeat process. I don't know if I said that, but you can open up a brand new LLC next year, do this whole process again. So that's what you do. 2 years in, you'd be set, you know? And so start now. You know, you obviously have a long runway. You should start tomorrow.
Luis said that you could use him as an example. Luis, you want to explain your situation?
Yeah, perfect, actually. So I'm 25. I got two lines of credit. Don't really have any like school debt or anything. Okay. Income's probably like 5 to 7 a month with like appointment setting and transitioning out of 9 to 5. Okay. And then I'm also trying to establish like a lead gen agency on the side.
Okay. So the two lines of credit you have, what banks are they with?
Bank of America and American Express.
Perfect. Okay. American Express is a great bank. By the way, if any of you, Arlen included, have money in Bank of America, open up a Chase account and move all your shit to Chase. Bank of America is tightening up their lending for like the last 6 months. That's not a good sign. That means that something is off on the back end that they're not telling us. It's almost like, you know, the fucking buzzer on the stock market. It's like whenever people short sell, like move your shit out of Bank of America for sure. But Bank of America used to be great at lending, not anymore, not in the last like 12 months, but American Express is awesome. So what limits do you have on your Bank of America card and your American Express card?
My Bank of America was my very first one, maybe like 5K, and then American Express like 15 or 20.
Perfect. Even better. So American Express has a really cool process where you can actually shift limits between cards. So that 15 to 20K you have on Amex, you could go and apply for a business credit card, maybe get 10 grand, and you can shift all 20K to that, and it can all be 0%. Does that make sense? So you have, like, let's just say 20 grand on your personal card. You apply for a business card, they give you 10. You take all of the first card. You have to keep maybe 500 bucks on there to keep it open. So you'd move 19,500 to that business card. Now you have almost 30 grand at 0% instead of 10. Pretty cool. Chase does that as well. So like there's these back end nuances, right? Where I'm going to show people essentially how to maximize their funding. So long story short with you, you need one more card. You have to have three. You have to have a good credit mix. Student loans. So anybody in here has student loans, mortgages, auto loans. They don't give a fuck. They don't care about your debt to income ratio. It's awesome. Like they really do not care about how much debt you have. They care about how much revolving debt, which is your credit utilization, right? So if your credit utilization rate is above 10%, there's like, you guys ever heard of the mandala effect where like the world thinks it's something else, like, you know, like some weird shit, like Coca-Cola is like a different logo, or like the Monopoly guy has an obstacle or whatever the fuck that the fucking thing is in their eye, right? So everybody thinks it's 30%. Everybody I fucking talk to is like, yo, I thought I heard that my usage was only supposed to be 30%. That's false. It's supposed to be 10. So as long as your credit usage is at 10%, you apply for a third credit card. You have a good credit mix. No, all your other personal debt in terms of personal loans, any loan doesn't matter. Apply for a Chase personal credit card. And now you have your three credit mix. You're set. And the reason why I say Chase is they're the number one bank. They are the best bank. They will give you the most amount of money. They have the best rewards points, perks. Like they are the number one bank by far. Amex is the second one right now. So Chase and Amex. So that's what I would do if I were you. In that way, now you have a perfectly built personal credit profile, and now you're ready to move over to the business. And so every one of you, it's going to have a different set of banks. Now, foreigners are a lot different, but all of you are going to have a different set of banks based on what state you live in, right? So I'm in Arizona. I've got 23 banks here because everybody's going to have the same national lenders, but I have different regional and local banks than all of you. So where are you based out of?
Atlanta.
So yeah. I just got off a call with a guy from Atlanta today. So let me look in Georgia and see how many banks you have. So this is every single bank in every state, and like known to like all 50 states. Every bank is on here. So Georgia has 13. You have 13 banks that offer 0% interest. So you have all of these. Now these aren't in order. This is not in the order in which you would apply. These are the 13 that you've got. And so that's who you would apply with. Okay. So it's different for everybody. So everybody's going to have the same banks, Goldman Sachs, Chase, Bank of America, American Express. Those are all national lenders. But PNC, I don't know if you guys saw PNC was on there. PNC is not a national lender. They're a regional. So that's what I also show you. And in what order you go to. For example, if you go to Wells Fargo before you go to Chase, Chase will see that and they'll give you less money. So you have to be very diligent in the sequence in which you go to the banks. Right. So you'd always go to prioritize Chase first. Well, then there's other policies like that as well. So you have to make sure you're sequencing properly, you know? Yeah, that's how you do it at a high level, like 30,000 foot view. Of course, there's nuance to everything, but yeah, that's a quick little overview of how you would do it.
That's dope. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So just like an action item, should I go ahead and get a Chase card and then come to you? Be like, hey, let's work together.
Yeah, that's what I always get this question. Don't apply for anything before you work with me, because there's very specific things you should do to your profile before you apply. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that you're stacked before you go and apply for a Chase card, and you apply for the proper Chase card so you can get, number one, great rewards points, and number two, a very high limit. Great example is this. My sister, she's 24. She's out of Tennessee. She has no fucking credit. She did exactly what I told her to do to stack her credit. A month ago, she got $28,500 on her very first credit card. with Chase. So you just need to make sure you stack your file first. So yeah, we need to work together first to make sure you meet these requirements, and then you'd apply.
That's great.
Yep.
What Get else? In there, Luis.
Yeah. What else? Who else said something? Me too. I can explain what you think I should do. What you'd recommend.
Sam's in the UK as well.
Mm.
What's up, Sam?
What up, Don?
So I was just going to ask, like, I think you kind of answered the question after I asked, but it's to do with like university. So it doesn't affect, like, because I'm like in England, you're like 17 grand a day every year. So it doesn't have any, like, you can still do it even if you're in debt to university.
Yeah, 100%. It doesn't matter what the debt is. Right now I've got a client that has like $7 million in debt and mortgages because they took out all their mortgages. They didn't know about business credit. They took out all their real estate and personal. Right. So they're maxed out. They're capped out at 10 mortgages and they've got all this debt, but it did not affect how much they got. They're actually at like 400 and something thousand at 0% right now. And so that does not affect you whatsoever. It's actually pretty sick, dude.
And in the same way that, like, if you own a business, like your like debts are like capped. Is it the same or is it like different? Like
your debts are,
like,
capped.
No, like, sorry, not your debts, your liability, like the limited liability, as opposed to unlimited, like they could take everything try to remember how it works. Like, for example, if you in England, you have a partnership or so you're a sole trader, you have, what's it called? Unlimited liability where they can take your assets as a, like if you're in debt.
I see what you're talking about. So if you default on the debt, they would take everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my friend, that's another thing I show people how to do. You would never take out funding under your current LLCs that you guys are operating in. You would open up a completely separate LLC just for funding, because there's such a thing as, this is like a fundamental number, like step number one, open up a properly structured LLC, which essentially there's something called the NAICS code. It stands for the North American Industry Classification System. It's a 6-digit numeric code. And that's what the code that the banks will pull when they look up your LLC with the Secretary of State. So if you have a high risk code, then you're going to get less money. Also, let's say you're a real estate client of mine, or you have like assets in your company and you default. Well, yeah, they're going to take your assets. But what if you have no assets in that company whatsoever? It's the Donald Trump play. It's exactly what Donald Trump did. He bankrupted his business. But he did not That's right. Bankrupted his companies, but he did not bankrupt himself. Your personal file is unscathed. Now, your relationship with the banks that you bankrupted yourself with is completely burnt. Like, you will not be able to work with Chase again if you bankrupt from Chase. So I do not recommend bankrupting a bit. Like, there are people out there that will tell you, go get your $500,000, whatever it is, and then just bankrupt the company and you'll just walk away with the $500,000 without having to pay it back. Do not do that. You can get this $500,000 every year on a brand new business. Why only get $500,000 and then burn it? It makes no sense. So just put it in a smart asset where you're making, you know, a good return is like 10% per year for an old head. If you do this, you're going to get 20 to 30 if you know how to, where to put this capital. I mean, think about it. If you literally just simple process I just showed you of lending your money out, you'll make a 50% return on your money. It's pretty good. Pretty damn good. So yeah, again, Samuel, you would just open up a separate LLC where there's no assets, and you would completely just separate that business on its own. You'd fund that business and you'd loan the capital from that business to the existing company, right? So like this one here, let me find one. So perfect. So I got this business here. It's G&T Home Goods, okay? Mm-hmm. And then that business will lend to KHG Media. So if I got 100 grand on this card and I just pulled 100 grand off of it, well, I would take that money on paper and I would just move the money to the new account. But on paper, I loaned the money to that other business. That makes sense. Because a lot of CPAs, their fucking heads explode when you tell like what you're doing. Essentially, you're just loaning, one business is loaning money to another. That's all it is on paper.
Yeah.
And you don't pay taxes on this debt either. It's debt. You don't pay any tax on it. Tax free, baby.
Yeah. And this is another concept we haven't really talked about, because I think it's just something that the average person that hasn't thought about debt, they haven't wrapped their head around this idea.
Yeah.
That you don't have to pay taxes on this. So could you just baby step everyone here through why that's a big deal?
I mean, it's huge. It's what all the wealthy do. All of them. Grant Cardone, Ben Mala, Big Ben out of Florida. Like, I don't know if you guys know who Ben Mala is. Look that motherfucker up on YouTube. He's great. But essentially, it's like what all of them do, especially in real estate. You're just doing it on a smaller scale with a credit card. So you ever like a 1031 exchange where people like buy another property with the property and they refinance out and they pull the cash out? It's exactly what I was telling you guys about with the properties earlier. Anything that's coming from the bank, whether that be a refinanced loan, a loan, credit cards, none of that is taxable because it's not income. It's debt. You can't tax debt. That's why the wealthy pay no taxes, because they take all their earned income and they throw it into real estate. They throw it into things to depreciate their income, or they spend it on their business and they expense it all down. And then they pull cash out of their actual assets, whether that be cryptocurrency. Like, you can take a loan against crypto. I don't know if you knew that. Or you could take loans against your stock assets. You can take a loan against your real estate, which is called refinancing out. You pull cash out of your assets. You still own the equity. You pull cash out and you live off of that, right? People do this all the time with businesses even. One of my older clients, I used to work with Brad Lee. He literally will take cash out of his business and pull that out, live off that. So all the cash he's generating goes into other business ventures, other ideas, which is expensed down. It's a deductible. It's a tax write-off, right? So you can just go to the bank and get an appraisal or of your business. Oh, it's worth 25 mil. It's worth 50 mil. Well, then you go to the bank and you show them the paperwork and they will give you a loan against that, right? So it's the exact same concept with the credit card, except it's very cheap capital, right? It's 0% interest. It's pretty cool.
Does your program help teach us about how to live like that?
Pulling money out, you mean? Like living off debt?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It doesn't really teach you how to live off debt, but it gives you the tools to do so. Right. So it's up to you, however you want to fucking live. Right. Cause everybody's got their own investment thesis. You seem like a pretty young dude. So your risk tolerance might be a lot higher than some of my older 70-year-old clients. Right. My 70-year-old clients are like, it's kind of funny. Cause like I said, you can roll this debt over. Like, just have this concept in your mind. You can get a credit card for 100K. And then that 100K technically is due on the 12th month, or you're going to have to start paying very high interest on it. Okay. What you'll do is you'll take a second card and you'll pull the cash off and you'll pay off this card. You just shifted the debt from this card to this card. You just keep doing that over and over and over. So you never have to pay on the card. Some of my older clients, they do that. They're like, dude, I'm kicking the bucket in like 5 years. Like, bro, I'm old as fuck. I got a client of mine, Lee. Lee's a fucking, he's a dirty Floridian. He's a fucking hilarious guy. And he's like, dude, I ain't ever paying off these credit cards. And he's got like 160 some thousand. He's just like, my life insurance will pay for it. I'm like, okay, whatever you want, man. So you can essentially do whatever you want with this money, man. Like, you can live off the debt, never pay the credit cards, whatever you want to do. That's not essentially what I'm here to help you do. I'm not an investment advisor. What I'm here to help you do is just get as much fucking money as possible. And then you can fuck off
debt with it. In debt. Yeah. Guys, it's simple. Yeah. Just be in debt. That's it. You'll figure it out. Okay. Gavin, can you just do one more example? Like, I know you have a client recent, like this week or something, that wants like $3 million in debt. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So you can essentially think of it like this. What I'm going to teach you is like, you're all playing Monopoly. Okay, we're all playing it. It's the game of fucking life, right? I'm just going to show you the rule book on how to do that. So there's a lot of different rules of, you know, trading in four houses for a hotel, or when you pass go, you collect $200. That's essentially what I'm going to show you to do. So for someone on the low end of the spectrum, like a novice, how to get 100K, I'll show you to do that. You need 3 million. Well, then you and I need to talk on a separate call, because that's not going to be in Funding Secrets, because very like 1% of my clientele needs that much money. And you're going to have to learn some advanced rules, right? And so the advanced rules at a high level look like this. You're not just going to get credit cards. You're going to get lines of credit. Those lines of credit have an interest rate attached to them, but you can get around that by essentially what I was telling you earlier, how you open up a brand new LLC and get another half a mil. You just rinse and repeat that. So if you need it really quickly, you open up lines of credit and then pay off those lines of credit with a credit card. So you're getting more products than just a credit card. So you're getting credit cards, lines of credit, and auto loans. And that sounds kind of crazy, but a lot of people don't know this. You know that you all could go to a dealership, get the VIN number, find a car you want. Let's call it a $100,000 Maserati. You can then go to your bank, Bank of America, Chase. Chase is a great one. Show them the VIN number, tell them you want that car. They will mail you a check for $100,000 with your name on it. And then you don't go to the dealership. You cash that check. You now have $100,000 in your hand. They don't check to see if you bought the car. They don't give a shit as long as you cash the check and you're using the money. Now you're going to have potentially a high interest rate, because that interest rate is attached to a vehicle. Not all the time though, if you apply correctly. I just bought a brand new truck. It's like $110,000. I got 3.9 interest 2 months ago. And the GM of the dealership was like, how the fuck did you just get such a high, low interest rate? He was quoting me 7 when I walked in there. He's like, with your credit score, you're looking at like 7% interest. It's because you apply a very specific way. And when you apply that specific way, you're going to get lower interest rates. So again, it's a little bit of an advanced concept, but to get 3 million, it's going to take a bit longer time. Going to take roughly 4 to 6 months, depending on what state you live in. He lives, thank God, in Florida, where he has 26 banks. He's got a lot of banks at his disposal, twice as many as Georgia. And he's someone who has a lot of time on his hands. He invests in a lot of multifamily real estate. He's got like 100 doors. So he's got a lot of time to go into these different banks that I need him to. So that's how you would do the 3 mil.
This is satisfaction asking how you're doing now. How's the castle built of people you tend to care about? Just what you want.
Jamie?
She's a cool guy.
Thanks, Gavin.
Yeah, man. And Louis, this is not a promo. Like, you can, that's the price of the price. You don't, you never discount, like Arlen, you were saying, like, you give a negative discount, right? On Black Friday. You never discount your shit. Never discount your shit, boys, ever, you know? So yeah, you can hit me up anytime, or Arlen, you know, just go through that link and I'll know you came through Arlen.
Perfect.
Cool. Yeah. I'll drop it one more time. Good call, guys. I'll work on that GPT bot for you guys too. Next call will be... Sunday's my birthday. Yeah. Stay tuned. I'll say what the next call is. All right, guys. Good call. Hopefully you guys learned something. Gavin, thank you so much. And yeah. Get in Funding Secrets, guys. Get in debt. Let's go. Let's get in debt together.
Get in some debt.
Thanks, mates. Have a good one.